Let's begin with an opening prayer, if we can, please. We are here, Lord, in this place. Not only do we stand in awe of how great you are, larger than our imagination, but we can scarcely comprehend that you are with us this moment. From a distance, you're watching us, but you also stand beside us as well. Your presence fills us with wonder when we become aware that you are near to us. This is your time of worship, Lord. The words don't belong to me. The music isn't the property of the piano, or it isn't the property of what's on the audio screen. The praying and the singing we all do does not only come from us, but it also comes through you. When we lose sight of this today, as well as every day, forgive us, Lord, and live in and through us. Do great things with us right now and in the weeks that lie ahead. We pray this, our Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I begin today, if you don't take anything else away from this sermon, take just one thing, and that is this. There is not enough room in your mind for worry and faith. So you've got to decide who gets to live there. Prayer is the road to heaven, but it is faith that's going to open that door. So if you don't get anything else out of this today, take that with you, if you would, because faith becomes the most important thing in our lives at this point in time. Now, we've all had at one time or another a promise put into our hearts, and a good number of those promises have come from our relationship with God. He has inserted into our minds and he's inserted into our hearts the promise of good things to come. These promises will affect our lives now, and they will affect our lives into the future. Now, some promises, they're days away, while others could be weeks, they could be months, they could even be years from now. It could be a much-deserved promotion that you're looking for. It could be the defeat of an addiction. It could be the promise of a good outcome after surgery, or it could be the gift of a healthy newborn child. We know that this is going to happen because God told us that this was going to happen. And I don't know about you, but the only way that I can sit up here at this point in time and say it is I know God doesn't lie. However, sometimes it takes longer than what we expect. We have a tendency to get impatient. We get frustrated. And we lose faith. Negativity begins to cloud our minds. Unfortunately, we begin to start thinking that God is never going to fulfill that promise. Well, I can tell you from personal experience that I've gone through just exactly that scenario. My wife Janice would tell you, I don't like hospitals, and I absolutely despise IVs. I don't know how many times in my life I have prayed, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no IVs. Most of the time, I managed to get through it with some limited help. Sometimes, not so much. I began to question why I prayed to God so hard, and I didn't receive the promise of comfort that I was looking for. I mean, after all, I prayed. I promised to become a minister. I promised to treat my wife better in life, to stop using the Lord's name in vain. I mean, at some point in time, Lord, please, yeah, throw me a bone here. I've promised you everything. But it wasn't until COVID invaded our lives and hospital procedures governing surgeries changed. And I came to understand that God does fulfill his promises. But what I didn't realize at the point in time was that not all of those promises are going to be fulfilled in the manner in which I expect them to be fulfilled. You see, nobody was allowed to accompany me into the prep area or into the post-operative wards during that surgery procedure. In the past, my wife always was there to comfort me. She knew how important it was to have her near. But now here I am in an isolated room, nobody around, and I'm on my own. Negativity began to fill my mind. I dreaded that IV. I knew it was on its way. Should I run or should I just pass out now? I began to think irrationally. Will they find that vein? How many times are they going to stab me with that needle before they get where they want to go? How long is that contraption going to have to stay in my arm? Where's the closest door? Can I escape? Can they catch me? But God puts people in our lives for a specific reason, and he puts them there at the right time. The surgeon who was scheduled to perform that operation that day entered into the room, and he asked, "Can we spend a few moments in prayer?" That was God's promise. This was the angel that he sent to fulfill and carry out that promise to me. Now, since that day, I've had very few issues with IVs, which is not totally true. But I have gotten better. But what you learn from this is that if you will just stay in faith, God's promises are going to be realized. I want to go back to the time that God's... I want you to go back to a time when God actually spoke to you and initially made his promise. And I want you to start thinking about that commitment that he made to you. It may not happen in the time frame that we may think it's going to happen, but I can tell you it's going to happen because God promised it and it's on its way. You see, one of the things that we always used to say at Zion United Methodist Church is I would stand up and I would say, "God is good," and the response always was, I have a few Zion people over here today. He won't tell you something that he has no intention of doing. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, "For all the promises in him are yea, and in him, amen." Now, what a pleasant thought to think about that when you can trust God and you can trust in his intervention in your life and a promise is made to you and you don't have to live fearful and you don't have to be frustrated and you don't have any more doubts. You just have to sit back and realize the promise was made. Now, I know some of you, or some of us, I should say, We'll still have those questions. That's human nature. I understand that completely. At least I know I still do. But no matter what you may think or what you may have done in the past, what you may do in the future, what you may do next year, God's promises don't have an expiration date. Just because you may have given up on what that promise is going to be, it doesn't necessarily mean that God has given up on that promise. Now, I can understand from personal experience that you can get frustrated. Believe me, I've lost faith many times. But you have to understand that sometimes behind the scene, God is working on a plan. And that plan may not be immediate. That plan may be down the road. It may be somewhere in the distant future. But he's working on a plan for you. When God put that dream into your life, he determined the right time for that promise to come to fruition. God has perfect timing. Never early, never late. It takes a little patience and a whole lot of faith, but it's worth it if you will just wait for the promise. Now, there are going to be times down the road when things eventually will fall into place for you, when that right person comes into your life. Good news on a health report, possibly. Your financial situation changes. You meet that special someone in your life. Well, you lose that fear of IVs altogether. It's not only important that you trusted God, but you must be willing to trust the timing that God has given. When He's ready, not when you're ready, nothing is going to stand in the way of God delivering that promise. God said to Isaiah, "When the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen." At the right time, that doctor delivers good news. At the right time, Jesus shows up in life to comfort you. At the right time, that special person shows up. At the right time, God steps in and heals somebody close to you. At the right time, God gives you the talent to stand in front of people and give sermons, which, believe me, I never have done this before until I was asked to do it in church at Zion a couple years ago. At the right time, David defeats Goliath with nothing more than a slingshot. At the right time, God parted the Red Sea. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that God opens doors that you never, ever thought were possible. I want you to take just a couple seconds. I want you to think for just 1 minute. Think for just 1 minute. How many times has God intervened in your life and delivered a promise to you? Take 1 minute. I know what I think about it. The number's staggering. I could have spent this whole sermon just thanking God for all the promises that He kept. And yet think about this for 1 second. You had 1 minute, is all you had. And I'll bet you each and every one of you, if you thought about it, came up with several things that God has promised you in your life and has committed and has fulfilled those promises. You may not see how it happens, and you may not understand why it happens. But you got to understand, God is not limited by what limits us. Now, if things are not happening in the time frame that you think they should be, your situation is becoming critical. Remember what I said. You have to trust God's timing. Perhaps the delay is the result of God trying to shape you. If things are not happening in an urgent manner that you need them to happen, maybe God is working on something inside of you. The question there, though, is, are you willing to trust God? Are you willing to trust what He's working on? I can assure you of this. If you do, what God has planned for you eventually is going to come to pass. Now, most of you here in this congregation have no idea that my wife and I are moving to Indianapolis. And we're going to miss Zion United Methodist Church greatly because it was the church that we've spent most of our time in over the last several years. I'll also appreciate and will miss the congregation here at North Bend who has asked me to come in on several occasions to speak with you. And I appreciate that. It has been a great experience at both locations. And I want to thank God for the opportunity to be able to do it. If you want to talk about promises made and you want to talk about promises kept, let me share a few with you that have meant so much to me. I'm sure my wife has other ones and so forth that mean a lot to her, but these are just basically mine. I always wanted to deliver a sermon, but I never had that opportunity. That's my fault, because I didn't really pursue that opportunity. Even though God may have been saying to me on numerous occasions, you've stood up in front of Japanese, Koreans, and everything else and delivered presentations across the country, why can't you stand up in front of a church congregation and deliver a sermon? Well, I prayed one day then that I would be given that chance. And God delivered. Promise kept. I was asked to take over the finances of a troubled church. I had no real experience in that area whatsoever. I prayed for God to guide me, and with help of others, you have to look and see where Zion United Methodist Church is today. Promise was kept. I've overcome my fears of anxiety in many ways. I prayed to God to help me through extremely rough times, especially those that took place during the early morning hours where I couldn't sleep and I found myself wandering around outside my underwear. Now, what I should have been praying for at that point in time was that somebody didn't have me arrested. At that point in time, I would look up into the skies and I would ask God, listen, please, I need comfort. And God said to me, fine, pray the Lord's Prayer. Get it right and keep saying it until you get it right and the comfort will come. And that gave me comfort and it gave me peace. And if you don't think it works, try it sometime. Because I've had numerous individuals come to me and tell me they can't believe how that has worked in their lives. It worked then, and it continues to work even today. Promise was kept. I sat in a chair at a dentist's office, full of fear. Hate dentists. Wanted to get up and run. I prayed for comfort, and I explained this to my wife one time, and of course, I had never told her it before, and when I told her, she had tears in her eyes. As I sat in that chair and stuff, as that individual was drilling away, and I wanted to get up and run, as I had my eyes closed, the face of Jesus appeared in my eyes and said, relax, I'm with you, I will comfort you. From that point forward, I didn't care how long I sat in that dentist chair. Could care less. The promise was kept. I prayed for God to place in my path someone who cared, someone who loved me, blessed me with children. 42 years later, I guess that's a promise kept. We're still going. When my dad was dying, I prayed to God to take him quickly, with no suffering. Promise was kept. I prayed for God for the compassion to help others who are less fortunate. And I'm happy to say that that is one of the joys of my life, and it has transferred over into my children and to my grandchildren. The list can go on, and it can go on, and it can go on, and it can go on. And if you would take just a few moments to remind yourself of all of the prayer requests that you have made personally to God, you will be amazed at the number of times that God has actually fulfilled those promises to you. No. It may not happen on your schedule. And it may not happen in the manner that you think it's going to happen. But if, and I repeat, if, you will have faith in God. And go back to what I told you at the very beginning. It is prayer that opens the door, but it's faith. It's faith that you have to have. And if you'll do that and have trust in His ways, your time is coming. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for the privilege of being able to share in this time together. Time to connect with heaven and your promises of yes. Time to rest and join together with this congregation. Time to reflect and breathe in the wonders of your love, the majesty of your kingdom, and the excitement of journeying with you. Come watch over all of us here today. Pray for those individuals that we have asked you to heal. And as you do that, we will continue to follow you. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.